Hey, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We're doing a talk show. It's fun, blah, blah, blah. We're doing four nights of talk shows. We did one last night. Oh, I love this backing track. It's great. We did one last night, and it was a lot of fun. And I decided to not pace myself this week at all, and I ended up drinking until like 6 a.m. and then being on a radio station no one hears at 8:30 a.m. And that's fine. That's normal. That's what we do. But I knew, like, oh, you're drinking too late, because as soon as the phrase was like, listen, I'm not saying 9/11 was an inside job, but was uttered, and then we kept drinking for two more hours, I knew it was going to be a good night. How you doing? There's a tamale guy here, which means we're officially doing a show in Chicago. Tamales are for sale. Yeah, so this is what I do when I come to town. I hang out with all my cool city friends. It's when I say cool city friends, I just mean, like, one cool guy I've known for like 10 years, and three guys of his friends that I barely met who are from like the deep south side. And he's got a fire pit in Ukrainian village. That's highly illegal, but you know, whatever, fuck it. So I smell like fire still, but not like, ooh, blazing it up. No, like actual fire. Like the kind you would, like the visual equivalent is like a plaid coat you'd see in Twin Peaks. That's what I looked like and smelled like while I went on my public radio adventure this morning. How did I follow that up? I got McDonald's for the first time ever sober in the morning. That felt weird. I don't know if I'm going to do it again. It's not like weird on the inside, which is kind of sad, because if your body is used to McDonald's breakfast after never eating it sober, there's something wrong with your inside. So that's the kind of knowledge I want to impart on everyone. But we have a really packed show for a very beautiful audience. And I love there's a ukulele behind me. This is the best idea I've had all week. But yeah, let's make things quick. Esmeralda's the co-host. Annie/Rockfalls is the musical guest. We have five things planned tonight. That's a lot of things planned. It's going to be fun. We have Ray. Oh, should I do first names? I should do first names and last names. Why am I talking so fast? We have film critic, filmmaker, author, writer, genuinely talented man. I don't know how he makes money. We're going to talk about that. Ray Pride is our first guest. We have professional leader, second in the world, Patrick Bertoletti. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know if I am. Stand-up comedian / podcaster, Colin Bullock. Sketch from Odeodora, and finally music from Tiger Kite. Shit, that's a long show. We're going to have an awesome time. Do you want to play the French song?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the music of Rock Falls. That's so cool.
Sorry, it's a little out of tune. I'll fix it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone cares about the tuning. That was so good. I am so glad you're here. Thank you so much for doing this yet again.
I'm so honored to be here.
Wow, you have low standards of honor. But that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm really glad my fiancé finally met you, because I think it's...
I mean, if I saw a photo of me, like, slowly taking my shoes off while a beautiful woman sings in French, I'd be upset. So I'm glad you get to meet her.
Oh,
I'm glad
God,
you like her.
She's so cute.
She's cute. That's when I thought about marrying a woman, I was just, like, who's going to be cute?
She's just, everything about her is so, like, lovely and effervescent. And
I'm going to move on from that. Because let's move on from that. Annie will be here the entire night and the next two nights if she doesn't get really sick. I heard you coughing earlier.
Oh, no, that's not cough. That was fake. That wasn't real.
Okay. Speaking of not real, Merle, how are you? I don't even know what that means. It's a weird transition.
Thanks a lot.
What does that mean? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. That's a good way to start.
We should adopt a manatee.
Why? News. We do news.
I'm trying to segue into the something.
Okay.
There is a 2-month-old Amazonian manatee that has been rescued by a Brazilian group.
Okay.
And I want to adopt it. It looks like a little fat man.
Why don't you just adopt?
And I think it would be perfect, because, I mean, you're thinner now, but
thanks.
It's like the...
Because when you think of me, you think of
a fat baby manatee.
Fat, long-whiskered, ugly piece of shit.
It's actually quite adorable. I mean, it is 2 months, and who knows, in a few more years, it's going to be, like, ugly and gross, and we'll probably want to throw it into a toilet.
It won't fit in a toilet. How would you even take care of a manatee?
You just put it in a tub.
Nope, that's not how it works.
Well, and I don't... Well, no, we'll just... How about we just foster it?
Then what's the point?
And why don't you just name him YMTE.
Why don't you just foster a child at this point?
Well, because you can't name a child YMTE.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I'd rather the manatee, and we'll put a t-shirt on it that says YMTE.
Do a Google search for YMTE, and there's a lot of Japanese kids and German kids with that name. Not joking. There are. There are.
Oh,
I've done this before. I've done child research about adopting kids to give the show name. The acronym of the name.
Okay.
Good for story.
I went the good way, and then you just decided to make it all terrible.
Yeah, the good way of adopting a manatee so you could name it after a show.
Then we'd put a t-shirt on it and be a tiny t-shirt.
We don't even have t-shirts.
So then it folds.
But we don't even have t-shirts. Wouldn't t-shirts be the first thing
you
in this?
Just make one.
Are you going to screen?
We just need one shirt for that fat manatee.
If I'm going to make a fat manatee shirt, I want it to look really nice. Like, I'm going to buy an American Apparel shirt.
Well, yeah, you just got to buy one.
I got to make a screen. How many different colors are on the shirt? I want it to look real cool.
For the fat manatee.
Yeah.
You'd probably just puke on it or something. I don't know what manatee.
How is this different than any shirt made by American Apparel?
Oh, what?
No, it's not a knock. I mean, okay, hipsters and garage rockers. I like to vomit on shirts. I vomited on a shirt 2 weeks ago, in fact. It was not an American Apparel shirt.
Was it pretty?
The vomit or the shirt?
The vomit on the shirt.
Did
it match? Was it clashing?
Totally
clashed.
What did
you eat?
I ate something with tomatoes.
Oh, I'm sure that was a pretty color.
It didn't really blend with the black. And it was one of those t-shirts that, like, I know Kelsey fucking dyed her hair in because there's, like, weird bleach stains on it. And I was like, I'm not throwing that away. I'll vomit on it 2 years later and then throw it away.
That's what
the
we
circle
all
of
life.
Yeah. Let's do the next story.
Yeah, so I found this story which made me angry.
Great.
About 15 things you should give up to be happy. And it's everything I enjoy doing.
Okay.
So it's give up your need for control, give up your need to always be right, give up on blame, self-defeating talk, complaining. You have to give that all up. I love doing that.
I don't think you actually love doing that stuff.
No, I do. Really love to complain. And
yeah, but not about, like, real issues. You love to complain about minutia, which is fun. Like, you yell...
Well, yeah, but this is the thing. They want you to give up all complaining. They're not being specific. They're just like, all of it. Get rid of it.
And then
you'll be happy, which I don't think so.
Fair enough. Are you happy?
Well, I'm complaining, so yes.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good equation. You got another story?
This one has to do with, well, not fatties, but it doesn't.
Why did you do this one after the manatee story?
I know, I should have.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking.
I could cut it off.
No, so there's this, let's edit it.
Yeah.
There's a hospital in Texas that is, they have some law where they're not allowing heavy people. It's a BMI of 35 and over.
Yes.
To work in their hospital, or fatties, a.k.a. fatties.
Anywhere in the hospital?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you have to...
So, like, even the cafeteria workers...
Yeah, everyone's got to be thin and beautiful.
I kind of like cafeteria workers that are over 35 BMI, because then I don't order things that I would like to eat because they taste good, which will make me super fat.
Well, see, my only thing is I was recently in a hospital. Not myself, but I was in it. And
you yourself were in a hospital visiting.
And I saw people, and I was thinking, you know, there were some fat nurses. And I'm like, what? How can you, you know, tell people don't eat that? And you're just like,
well, what do you think about doctors that smoke?
Well, I don't, you know, you choose what you do. If you're going to be a doctor, you kind of have to do good things or not smoke.
Do you mind if a doctor smokes?
Well, if I don't see it.
I kind of like doctors that smoke. They understand mortality. They're playing the odds. And I think it's the same with being a fatty. You're just playing the odds.
Look what can happen if you don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. Before walls. Sorry.
Oh, and they have to wear those terrible nurses' outfits. Sorry if anybody's a nurse or anything, but I just think those things are horrific.
I think everybody's on board with that.
And they always have pictures of kittens or
you don't like pictures of kittens on
kites.
Scrubs? What about the TV show Scrubs? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I loved that show.
It was cute.
Should we talk about Scrubs now?
No, I don't really like it.
Not.
It wasn't really.
We got a long show ahead, so.
Do we have any more news stories? So we covered fat nurses, things that you should probably stop doing but refuse to, and adopting a manatee.
I wanted.
No, that's perfect. No, I think what we did was give a good view of the world.
This is the only way I can adopt a manatee.
No, it's not.
No one would give me a
manatee.
You
need to do it through a talk show podcast?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
No one's. I can't be a single manatee mother. It's just, they're not going to give me a... I'm going to put it in a tub, like I said.
Do you have any idea how easy it is to tie that story to the third story with those nurses?
Oh, it's too late.
Coming to the stage, our first guest is a very talented man. He's a rock on tour of sorts. You ready to play, Annie?
Yeah.
Fantastic. He writes for New City. He writes for a bunch of other stuff. He's part of a new anthology of an amazing artist coming out. He's got a photo show coming out. It is a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Ray Pride, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good.
Okay.
I hope my hair looks a little better than the woman on the cover of Daniel Clowes' Modern Cartoon.
You don't like her hair?
It's kind of like my hair right now. One of us needs a haircut.
Voluminous.
I've never had a guest that instantly plugged.
Well,
he's smart.
Just getting started.
Okay, well, tell the people that aren't me what you're holding.
This is a survey of the work of the graphic artist Daniel Clowes. Daniel Clowes, Modern Cartoonist, The Art Of. Edited by one Alvin Buenaventura, who apparently was allowed to rummage around 30 years of Mr. Clowes' work in his craftsman home in Oakland,
okay,
Oakland,
but
California.
Please make it clear to the non-graphic novel fan, he's alive.
Oh, he's alive. He's only just 50 or so.
Yeah, but you made it sound
he's got a new heart and comfortable shoes, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's fine. He's alive and thriving. He's consistently putting out new work. Most people probably know him from Ghost World, I'm assuming.
Ghost World, Art School Confidential.
Yeah, but Ghost World is way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Art School Confidential?
The swearing is nice. There's good swears in it.
I've never seen a more bullshit artsy excuse to show blonde tits.
I just remember the swearing.
What?
I just remember the swearing.
Or different people. Good tits, to be fair. Like, hey, well, I've already isolated two nights of female guests. Let's see if I can do the next two. Sorry, I'm being a dick. You're a film critic. That's kind of why I tied that into that. What did you do for the Clowes book, though?
I wrote an essay about, which was commissioned for the book, about his comics that he wrote at the same time he was writing the Ghost World screenplay, mm-hmm. called David Boring, which is essentially... looks like somebody who thinks in film noir fantasies, but it's sort of, as a comic book, it deals with how we take pop culture on as if it were our own experiences, and I kind of try to unwrap that without getting too fartsy.
You don't get too fartsy, because you do write for New City, but you don't have enough words to get fartsy.
Yeah, if you have enough words, you can be artsy-fartsy. Think at 450 words, fartsy is about as good as you can get.
It's good. It's a good average. Yeah. Which of Clowes' work should be adapted that haven't already?
He's actually written some screenplays. Right now, he is adapting his very laconic comic book, Wilson, which is about an incredible misanthrope. For Alexander Payne, which may be one of his next couple of films.
Okay.
And he also tried writing a film with Michel Gondry and his son, but when people heard about the story they wanted to make, apparently they laughed, and not for a good reason.
When has Michel Gondry not been laughed at?
Well, it's that French accent. You either think it's very cute, or it just makes you roll on the floor.
What is your expression, or your feelings about that?
I think it's worth rolling on the floor, unless Charlie Kaufman's in the room, and
no.
then he's going to glare at you for no. misbehaving.
But it's fantastical. He climbs in and out of boxes.
He's great.
It was shot back. They did it backwards.
He's making a new film. I can't remember the name of it. Something like The Odor of My Perfume.
Perfect.
And he's the co-star of it. And there's like, it's a real cheap movie compared to The Green Hornet in 3D with some people we don't remember.
Seth Rogen. I got compared to Seth Rogen a lot. So did our comic, actually,
so
inevitably.
You've lost weight.
Excuse me?
So you've lost weight.
Yeah.
They used to compare you to Seth. They compare you to old Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Not the current toothpick.
Yeah, he needs to put the pounds back on. I think every pound he loses, he's slightly less funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dairy Queens and Tim Hortons in Canada. He just has to go home.
Yeah. Do you always talk like this?
Like what?
Like, intentional. Because I've drank with you before, but now I realize I don't know if you've ever said a word. We've drank at Cleo's together.
Yeah.
Usually between the hours of midnight and close. Yeah. And I'm with some of the best stand-up / nihilists in Chicago while I'm there. We're all yelling at each other, saying bad words. And you're always there, and everyone knows you, and we know you, kind of, but I don't even remember if you said anything because I've been screaming over it.
I think that might have been the case. Your ears were blocked by your own voice.
I know I've yelled at you in a kind way. I like your stuff! I've done that a lot before. Oh, this is interesting. I'm learning how people talk. This is what happens at an intimate talk show. Okay, so you're also a filmmaker. You're also a photographer. How do you divorce yourself from like figuring out this is what I'm going to do today, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow? Is it just based on deadlines?
Deadlines are a big incentive. Deadlines help you. I blew 3 deadlines on this wonderful book in my lap, The Art of Daniel Clowes, Modern Cartoonist. Museum.
You've gotten the plug in like 3 times, sir. Yeah. You're talking people out of it.
Museum show coming to the MCA in September, signing at Quimby's in May. But I blew like 3 deadlines. But what's good is on that 3rd blown deadline, the editor said, wow, this one line should be like a third of the essay. And so I got some more time.
There you go.
And I'm proud of it now.
But that doesn't really answer the question. So
deadlines are a great incentive to get things done.
If time isn't an issue, if money isn't an issue, what are you going to focus on?
They all flow together.
Really?
Yeah. It's just.
How many people have told you, like, you should just do this. You should just focus on photography. You should just focus on film criticism.
There's someone I know who's a really good photographer who is now a producer of DVD extras for Disney, who warned me when I started taking photographs at film festivals not to do it. He said, you will confuse people. People say, you're a writer, but these photos are good. What do you do? And then somebody else would say, I like your writing, but why are you taking pictures?
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I understand.
And it's just, there's this sort of monoculture idea about people should be capable of one thing.
Yeah.
I actually find the ability to go off and shoot some video toward a documentary project or to take the photos like I was taking of you and Annie as you were starting the show.
Oh, thanks.
They're not flattered. You don't want to see them.
Good.
So
lose more weight is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
It's like my camera tends to put on like 3 levels of shadow. I don't know what it is. It's like instead of putting on weight, it puts pancake makeup on everyone.
So everyone looks like Jack White.
Oh, good Lord. I confuse them, Jack White and Jack Black. The really tall, cool dude is Jack White, and Jack Black is the guy from Tenacious D. Got it. Okay, no, not Jack White.
Have you seen Jack White's most recent press photos?
Yes.
Are you sure about that? He looks like Michael Jackson.
The man, oh, is this the controversy that people have been incoherently referring to on Twitter?
I don't think there's a controversy. I think he has had a nose job. He took all of his most recent press photos in black and white, and he looks like Michael Jackson from the Scream video. There you go.
That's actually some amazing makeup there.
Yeah, Merle.
He totally does.
Yeah, he looks like. All you gotta do is Google, kids at home, Jack White 2012, and it's the second thing on Google image results. That is not the way he's always looked. You're lying. If you look at this, you shut the fuck up, stranger in the crowd. If you look at the spin 2002, shut up, monologue. Nope, that's not part of the show. 2002 cover of Spin, he still has blood in his face, so he doesn't always look like that. He's actually done more coke to take away all the blood, and now he just lives on Vicodin. What I'm really trying to say is I'm jealous of Jack White, okay? I really want his life. It's nothing against... Anyways, back to you. Photographer, filmmaker. You're a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Isn't that a huge conflict of interest?
No. I mean, there are people who are friends of mine who are filmmakers who I don't review. And
okay.
Generally, I don't even mention their existence. I just don't review their stuff.
Do you...
There is one friend of mine, an old friend, who's made a lot of films, and every couple of films we do a long 6,000 or 7,000 word exchange online that opens by saying, we're old friends. And
oh,
here's,
cool.
And here's what we talk about. So
that's
I think
neat.
It's fair. In the old ideas from the 1960s of new journalism, it was always okay to talk about going out and drinking and bruising with your buddies as
yeah.
long as you admit up front. It's not like full disclosure. It's more like saying, here's why we know each other and here's a side you won't get from that person with a clipboard full of things from IMDb.
Why don't we get that anymore? That's exactly what I, in theory, wanted this show to be. You remember that old 1980s photo of Studs Terkel and Mike Royko at the bar? It was on the set of the WTTW
yeah.
show. That's what I wanted this show to be, just a bunch of people yelling at each other drunk.
There's a clip, and there's a clip of, I believe it's Royko and Terkel also slightly drunk yelling at the Billy Goat. There's
yeah.
a pretty easy to find YouTube.
That's where they shot it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, what's missing from that? To me, that seems timeless and perfect.
All sorts of things. There used to be a Cup show in Chicago. Cup, who would fall asleep about 30 minutes into a show that was a minimum of an hour.
Good.
Sometimes it would be like a four-hour show. It was modeled after a guy named Dave Garraway, who had a show called Open End. Essentially, they were the last show before signing off. In the old days, they didn't have 24-hour infomercials.
Yeah.
So Dave Garraway would say, we're going to be here for at least an hour and a half. The conversation was going good. They were allowed to keep the transmitter on and talk all night. They were chain-smoking. They were drinking. You could hear the ice in the whiskey tumbler.
Yeah, I just did that.
Yeah, see, it's just like you're an open end. It's a great ideal, but now it's sort of like you see... Even on news shows, it's like there was someone who supports one of the Republican candidates said to Andrea Mitchell, well, you know about birth control. In my days, it was really cheap because just a woman takes an aspirin tablet and keeps it between her knees. And she pauses, the wife of Alan Greenspan pauses and says, that's terrible. That's awful. I'm going to have to recoil. Let's move on. Let's go to a commercial.
No, keep going.
And they never didn't keep going because everything is splintered into these 4 to 7 minute slots, which here can, you know, you can have a Santa's bag full of splinters. I don't know.
Oh, we're going to stop like now, though.
All
just
right,
cause,
I'm done.
You're very, very fascinating. Do you ever answer a question without thinking of what you're going to say first?
I didn't think of a single thing.
Seriously?
Am I that, talking that slow?
No, you talk with a lot of purpose. It's
huh.
the opposite of myself.
Oh.
Like, I'm just, this was going to happen. Like, that's what happens with me almost daily and hourly. But you're like, ooh, you got things planned to say and stuff.
No, I didn't plan at all. I was just hoping that the bus wouldn't break down. This is a really strange place, this neighborhood, now that...
Don't you live in Ukrainian Village?
Yeah, but this place, you know, they used to have, like, crazy clowns over here around the corner, Riverside.
Yeah.
Was around the corner. Now it's a police station where
it's been like that for since like 70, though. It's not like last week.
No, it is, but there are ghosts. You can feel the
Do you
ghosts.
Believe in ghosts?
But if they involve crazy clowns and Chicago policemen on that corner late at night, sure. I'm convinced.
We did have an ICP event here 2 years ago. It was quite a success. You
yeah.
can hear the download at You, Me, Them, Everybody. We recorded it. It was weird. They're Christians. You know that? Sure.
Which
ICP, Insane Clown Posse.
No.
Do you know about Insane Clown Posse?
Are these the Juggalo?
You don't even... Yeah.
These, yeah.
You should be intimate with these folks. They make films. They make music.
A friend of mine edited... there we go. A friend of mine edited a Juggalo
those?
Documentary and was immediately dumped by her boyfriend.
Excuse me?
I knew a woman who edited a Juggalo documentary and things happened that aren't my business to tell.
I think you have to tell them now.
I think it's separate from the Juggalos, but it just happened to be the Juggalos. It's sort of like the 800-pound Juggalo in the room. It was kind of
those
what
are quite common.
Up. Yeah,
those are very. They have their annual gathering in Illinois every year.
Yeah,
yeah. You want to go?
I like the invisible ghost of Riverview clowns a little bit better.
We're different people. I live in the now, full of Juggalos, and you live with the ghosts of clowns.
I like the ghosts.
We could smell
can't
both.
Smell.
You go. I guarantee you, it's Starved Rock Park or whatever it's called. It smells way worse than the ghosts of Riverside, River North, not River Riverview.
Riverview.
Jesus
Park.
Christ.
And the 25th District cops.
You're a good man. You're very fascinating, man. But we do have to actually move on. I apologize immensely. Is there anything you want to plug before we ask the last question? Because you have so much going on. You have the book, obviously.
Yeah, I've got some photos coming up at Atomics Cafe in June. I really can't talk about the documentaries because they're stupidly not finished, and they'll get jinxed more.
And people should pick up New City.
Yeah, New City. New City is good. There's a website that I am a news editor of called moviecitynews.com, and there are links to all of my stuff at Ray Pride, which is Ray Pride with a dot before the D-E. Raypride.de. It's German.
It's dumb.
Well, I let raypride.com lapse for about 20 minutes, and a Japanese holding company bought it. They work out of Bermuda, and now there's nothing but acne removal instructions in Japanese on raypride.com. So I can't get that back.
You know, you could renew it before it goes up.
Yeah, fucked up.
Things happen. That's okay.
Raypride.de.
Yeah, good luck with Google. All right. We're going to end this with a book of questions from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex, by Gregory Stack, PhD. This is an awful book, right? And feel free to lie, okay?
And it looks like it's about 42 pages.
Well, we rip out the pages once we're done.
Oh, I
see. See that thing over there? The Kids Book of Questions? That was our first book. We retired them because we ran through all the questions.
It looks like the chocolate chip cookie books at the Dominic's up at the checkout.
Okay. So. Those don't exist anymore, I don't think.
Ask me about a cookie. Go on.
Okay. Pick a number between 104 and 190.
I've always been partial to 169.
Okay. Well, that's been taken. You get 170. If your lover died and you could keep only one thing to remember him or her by, what would you want? If you were dying and could leave only one of your possessions to your soulmate, what would it be?
Huh. I haven't read enough Edgar Allan Poe. I think if I'd read more Edgar Allan Poe or Wilkie Collins, The Moonstone, or Jane Austen, there's probably some clue that I don't have.
The correct answer is the new...
My Left Foot. Okay.
No. The correct answer is the new film starring John Cusack, The Raven, based on the not life of Edgar Allan Poe. He plays the role of Edgar Allan Poe. That is the correct answer. You want to leave that DVD and or Blu-ray, depending on the afterlife.
It's a
follow that. Buddy.
It's a digital download from the other side. That's all I know.
You always had to end with a punny thing, didn't you?
Duh.
Thank you so much for doing this, Ray. I will link back to your billion plugs. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Ray Pride.
Thank you.
Damn, this is impossible to fucking read. Charlie, are we rolling? Hey gang, it's us, Saki, the Logan Square Record Store and Art Space, here to tell you about the great stuff we have lined up for Record Store Day, Saturday, April 21st. Holy shit, who the fuck wrote this? I feel like a fucking asshole. Starting at 1 p.m., we've got a whole day of performances by bands. Charlie, can we fucking get this fixed? Charlie, can we have somebody in here who knows what the fuck they're doing? Our pals at Chirpin' Girls Rock Chicago will be coming out to play games and hand out Does anybody listening to this We'll have ticket giveaways. Where the fuck did you go to school? You can even use your receipt to get discounts at places like Shake Shop and Bucket of Blood. Motherfucker. You know, it's like someone took a fucking asshole, crammed it into a pen, and then special hours are 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saki is 3716 West Fullerton in Chicago. Learn more at SakiStore.net or follow us on Facebook or Twitter.
All right, coming to the stage, maybe not the exact opposite of Ray Pride, but quite different, some might say. He is a professional leader. He is ranked second in the world. And he's wearing a shirt of a team that no longer exists. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, no, they don't. Put your hands together for Patrick Bertolelli, everybody. Patrick.
Sit down, buddy.
I don't know how I could follow that.
I think it'll be just fine. Right. Patrick, I liked how I slurred your name when I first said it because I don't know how to actually pronounce it. Bertolelli,
yep.
Kick ass. How old are you?
26.
Jesus Christ. Have you ever been fat?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You're ranked second in the world right now for professional eating.
Yeah, for gluttony, pretty much.
But you're not overweight.
I go up and down. Growing up all the way through high school, I was a pretty chubby. I actually entered culinary school, got even fatter. Entered competitive eating at the same time, got even fatter than that, and then figured out my body, and I lost weight, and I try to stay pretty trim.
Well, what do you do?
I ride my bike to work and I eat on a pretty strict diet otherwise, besides the competitive eating crap.
So when you're doing the competitive eating crap, how do you prepare? Like, what, like how far out? Is this like a boxer? Like and there's like tiers of training? Like, I can't fuck for this amount of time. I can't eat this at this hour. I have to only fuck and eat at this hour. Like, how
I have to only fuck and eat hot dogs at this. I can fuck, but I have to train while I'm doing it. Yeah, does that work?
Yeah, it really does. Actually, especially in this town, man. It's so easy and great.
Yeah, like a bratwurst or a deep dish pizza. Actually, my nickname is Deep Dish, so.
Yeah, that's your website.
Yeah, that's me. But as far as the training goes, I just drink a lot of water, an unhealthy amount that I would never recommend anyone do. And then
we got a lot of teens. Tell us how much. No. 2 gallons a day? Because I think you're supposed to drink a gallon a day, right?
Well, you're supposed to drink like 64 ounces or a gallon. But actually, at work, I drink 2 gallons just because I'm thirsty, and then I go home and drink another couple gallons just to stretch my stomach out.
How? What? What do you do for work?
I'm a cook at a catering company, so they don't have air, so I sweat profusely, and I just constantly guzzle water.
Okay. How long is this going to last? Because you're never going to die from this, right? Like, you're definitely, like, you're going to get something that's like, oh, that's it, something burst, can't fix the stomach.
Well, I don't plan on doing it much longer, but I've been doing it for a really long time. I've been doing it for 7 years. And
But you started at 19.
I started at 19, yes.
That's pretty young, right?
It is quite young.
Are you going to pull like a Jordan and try a different competitive sport and then come back? You're 20, 27.
I might get into porn. I was thinking. I can grow a really greasy mustache, so. No, I don't have any other skills besides cooking and eating.
No, shut up. I'm thinking about the porn thing.
I want to be the Michael Jordan of porn.
Michael Jordan's not even the Michael Jordan of porn. He lost too much money.
He has that mustache, that Hitler mustache.
So. Okay, let's think about this. We could make this happen. Do you really want to get into porn?
Perhaps. I could be convinced.
You're from the south side of Chicago, right?
Yes.
A Catholic family?
Yes.
You're not getting into porn. You want to you can.
I don't really care right now, so. My parents are already so disappointed that I'm still doing competitive eating that I can't really shock them anymore.
How Southside is for the audience?
It's kind of lame, actually. It's Palos Heights, like 120th in Harlem.
Yeah, I lived in 64th and Narragansett for a while. I hated it over there.
I went
I
to
called
high school
Poland.
In like 111 the Western.
Yeah. That was boring, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Isn't Rainbow Cone over there?
Oh yeah.
Rainbow Cone. Oh my god, I love Rainbow Cone.
Do you eat a lot of Rainbow Cone? Competitively?
It's literally coming at you from all directions.
I don't, but
right
I would
now.
Like to eat it competitively. Only like one location. It's in the city. It's up by like the Chicago Theater, and it's not as good as the original.
All right. Let's figure this out. How does one get into competitive eating? Because it sounds stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well,
awesome.
It's like, growing up, being on the fringe of society, like being a loner, not being good at anything,
okay,
being chubby,
yeah,
and not having to chew your food, because that's like the key to be a competitor.
Not having to chew your food. That's a good one. How does one learn how to not chew their food?
You don't really. It's not a skill you can learn. It's just something that you do. Like, it was always a problem growing up, but once I entered my first contest, I'm like, oh, I'm really good at this, and I always knew I was good at it, but people were just so annoyed that I would eat all the food everywhere that they were just like, just you get in the buffet line last, and that's how we do it.
So have you been banned from a buffet?
I have not, but I filmed a couple news segments at some Asian buffets, and they did not appreciate it.
That's just because you're a white guy from the South Side.
Is there anything that's hard to not swallow whole or in large chunks?
we're talking about the eating,
nope.
Not
I'm
porn, right?
Being
porn.
Serious. All of it. I'm curious.
Hot dogs are very difficult. I do the Nathan's contest every year.
And that's like the World Series of eating, right?
That is like
that's
the world
that Kobayashi
one.
Bullshit. He's a dick, right? Come on.
He's a dick because he won't email me back. That's why.
Why?
I don't know. Well, he's not with our league anymore. We signed with the league, Major League Eating. I'm signed. It's kind of, but he doesn't want to sign with them, and they hate
him. Is this
him.
Like a Meriwether Pacquiao type thing? Like, when will it happen? Because you're one and
well,
two.
I'm not getting tested. I don't want to get tested.
Yeah. How could you cheat in this? Seriously.
You can cheat. People, before Kobayashi lost to Joey Chestnut, the number one guy, they just automatically came up with all these accusations. Like, the Japanese government had put him under surgery and put, like, a metal stomach in, or they're giving him cancer medicine that increases his, like...
Seems fine.
Yeah, but you could cheat. You can make a mess in the contest. You could hide food in your cups. You can hide it on the ground, and you could just eat really sloppily, and some foods it's really hard to deduct and judge. So,
like what? Like pies or
hot dogs? You can the buns you have to dunk, so you can make an extra big mess, and then maybe they won't take it against you. They won't count it against you.
But for on a scale of Nathan's, that's such a big deal. Like, aren't there cameras everywhere? Is that even possible?
There is, but some of the I don't do it because like I'm not. I don't want to cheat in eating. I think if you cheat in competitive eating, you really have some serious problems. But some of the table enders are the guys that aren't good. They just started out. They start all at the end. So they can get away with it because no one's paying any attention.
Got it.
So that's usually what happens. Like, people that aren't good, it's not cheap to go to these contests. I don't get flown. I have to fly myself.
So why are you in this league then?
Well, I make a decent living, but I spend a lot of it traveling and partying.
Yeah,
eating a lot.
How do you like to party?
I like Andrew WK. So whatever his religion of partying is, I follow. But I actually drink. I'm not straight edge like
him.
Just
coke.
I don't think he does anything. But
he owns a bar.
No, he doesn't do anything.
Bullshit.
I saw him in concert a couple weeks ago, and I don't think he was on anything.
Yeah.
I myself had done a grocery cart of Whippets before the concert. So I think he would have appreciated that.
We've had so many people on the show that I grew up idolizing. Like, we had Scott Lucas on the show a few weeks ago. We've had comics that I think are the funniest people in the world, like guys like James Fritz. And I think you're the first guest who I've, like, getting a crush on during the show.
Wow.
Like, totally, like, dude, if I had this guy's life, like, oh, man, I'd be the shit. I could eat everything and do Whippets before Andrew WK and not give a fuck. But it's not like that. I got to go back to reality.
It is really cool because I haven't... Since I was 20, I was really good at it. It took me a few years to be good at eating, but I haven't had to be on a budget. I haven't made a decent amount of money for the last like 5 years.
You don't look like a dick either, because you could be like, I'm fucking hot shit. I could eat everything.
I mean, Jesus, it's not really. It's not brain surgery.
Fuck brain surgery. Anybody could do that. You could go to school for that. You can't go to school for this.
Well, is there anything you don't eat anymore? You're just like, fuck it.
I eat everything. I have the record in pickled jalapenos, but I don't actually really like them. They're kind of gross.
Yeah.
But I have to go every year because I win, and then it's kind of annoying.
Dude, I know what this is.
It's really annoying.
If you were a fucking thin asshole, you would just be in the guy like having sex with ugly women just to say like, oh, I fucked her. But because you had like a humbling childhood, you're doing this for like good.
Well,
that's all this is.
I don't really know why I do it. I guess I get some... the enjoyment I get is when I do really well.
No, man, I know exactly why you do it. You're like Eminem. This is like 8 Mile. He's like, yeah, my friend Cheddar Bob got shot in the leg. Yeah, my girl fucked that guy. What are you going to do? I'm going to eat everything. You're like that.
It's for the food tang, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
Food tang.
Speaking of food tang, are there groupies?
Yes.
Are there attractive groupies?
Yes, but you have to be suspicious of a girl who's in you because of competitive. The number one ranked eater, Joey Chestnut, looks like Sling Blade on a bad day, I have to say, seen him. And he doesn't have any, he gets drunk and he gets mojo and he knows that he's Joey Chestnut. And he gets a lot of good looking, well now he has a girlfriend, but before he got a lot of girls that were way better looking and that should have nothing to do with him.
I think every guy in this bar ever has had that exact situation. I don't think that's that unique or like uncommon.
Well, he gets a lot for what he looks like, man. It's
Does he sound like Sling Blade?
He has a personality.
Oh no, that's so.
I'm good buddies with him though, so I can say that.
He's got a terrible name.
Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut.
I love that name.
It seems like a made up name.
That's a real name.
Yeah, it is.
It's cool. Merle, you had a question though.
No, I have a friend of. And myself, I enjoy eating, and so does he, and we enjoy wings. And I want, because you're the number two professional eater, I just wanted some tips, because we want to have an eat-off with wings. What can I do? What edge? Can I get an edge over him? And I know you said don't, or swallow.
Well, you have to practice.
Wings, how do you, okay.
Wings but how
are,
do you do wings?
Wings are a technique, discipline. The one bone or the wingette, you have to spin them with both fingers.
Oh. And that's what we want to do. He calls them vagina wings because they're kind of, you know, the bone.
We get it.
She just said vagina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, you were a fat kid from the South.
It's okay. I have one, so I can say it.
Okay, so...
A pink chicken wing. Sorry.
Really? All right.
Sorry.
You're doing so well.
Oh, but the other one, you have to practice technique for the two-bone one. That's a lot harder to eat. You can do an umbrella technique where you pinch the bone and you push it down, or you can do there's a few other techniques you can do.
Oh my.
Okay, but this is
gonna be like Rocky now.
Are you gonna, Mara, are you gonna do it when it's timed and it's the amount of wings you can eat with
no,
a certain time, or just
we
whoever
enjoy
can go?
Chicken wings, so I think it's gonna be a leisurely thing.
So it's not necessarily about how quick we can eat these wings,
no,
it's how do you stretch your stomach out the most
and how
you
much
can.
We can. But you know, it would be good to get as many as we can.
Here's a good question. She's doing this contest. Should she be drunk or high? Because in my mind, yeah, of course, you're going to want to eat more. Yes?
I'm not a...
No.
Potentially drunk. A little bit buzz might help.
I'm assuming on like light beer. A Miller Lite.
Yeah,
which I think
or hard alcohol.
That'll
would be
take
good.
Up space.
Or hard alcohol. But hard alcohol, won't you just vomit quicker?
That is a good...
Do you vomit?
Well, it depends. Certain contests, I don't feel very well after. Like Nathan's, I always eat like, I think last year I ate like 12 pounds of hot dogs plus 12 pounds of liquid, so I was
tell the people how much time that was.
10 minutes.
Exactly.
You have to eat the hot dogs and buns, and I ate like 53 in 10 minutes or something.
Now, do they have a limit? Is it like maybe 5 minutes after you can't puke? Or is it like 1 minute after and you puke, it's okay?
The rule is you have to wait till they announce the winner. But by that time, I'm usually fine, but it's usually like a couple hours later when we have an after party, and I want to get really loaded, and it's very difficult. So
wait, do they have hot dogs in it?
They do not.
Oh, that's a good question and a good answer.
You'd want like ice cream or something after that one.
Really? Okay.
Something from so salty, you want something cold and sweet and refreshing.
Do you have a doctor that you see regularly?
I haven't been to one in a while.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You worried about that?
Well, I kind of. Maybe I should be more, but I actually can relegate it. I regulate it by my weight, and when my weight goes up and down, I have to, I don't know.
Not eat 52 hot dogs?
Well,
I
shouldn't be doing this, so every doctor I've gone to is, like, trying to tell me not to do it, so.
I don't know, man, because in my cool head, I think it's more like the more you do it, the more impervious you are to harm. You know what I mean?
Like, I can't be killed by conventional means?
Yeah.
Like Ozzy Osbourne and Keith Richards?
Yeah. It's right. Exactly like that, but, you know, food.
Well, I certainly know that there's danger, and they don't have any tests. Like, the first eater that came on the scene was Kobayashi. He's the best eater. And for years, no one thought he could be beaten. And then American eaters, these young guys, me and Joey Chestnut and the other guys, like, came up and were like, hey, let's treat this like it's a sport. Let's not just be 500-pound fat asses who go to the buffet, and, you know?
Yeah.
So we take it really serious, the training and the travel. And I always want to win, and I haven't really had to work. If Joey's not there, I always win, like, pretty much always win. But
this is like fucking Pistons Bulls 89-88, man. Your first championship is like a year away,
yeah,
man.
But when he goes, it's like he usually edges me out, but I can beat him. But hot dogs, I just don't know how to do it.
What is he doing? Like, what do you think is his? Why does
he
win?
Looks like Sling Blade? He's got nothing else. Yeah.
He's got that.
He's got a huge
retard eating strength.
He's got retard eating strength. Oh, that's so great. Please do more public radio appearances.
All right.
Oh, God, I'd love to hear you on
He's just a
BZ.
Winner. I don't want to say winner, but he has the mental strength. Well, he is, but he always beats me. I mean, it's kind of discouraging, but he's a mental strength to always... I'm not ever full after a contest, but he...
What?
He'll eat to the point where he's going to... If he coughs or, like, sneezes, he's going to throw up. But I never get to that point.
I'm going to take a photo
I've
of
done
you.
That before. So. I did it at an Olive Garden.
Hey.
I had to have the cheesecake.
It's funny that tamale guy came because I kind of wanted to just follow him out and just skip this because I love the tamale guy.
You could have sold him out.
Bought tamales.
Could have bought 50 tamales for $4 and ate them all.
Yeah, why didn't you?
I don't know. The last time I ate from one of those guys was at a bar and my cousin's band was playing. I was pretty drunk.
What's your cousin's band? Let's give him a plug.
Adam Fitz. That's
FITZ.
Oh yeah, I played a show with him.
He's awesome, right?
But yeah, I played a show with him.
He played at Quenchers, and that might be the reason why I'm not allowed. Well, I haven't gone back there, but...
What happened?
Do you eat other popcorn?
No, I was drunk, and then I bought whatever the guy had left, the tamale guy, like 15 or 20 tamales, and then I was peeing in the urinal, and I just threw up.
You're like a punk band without the really bad sounds.
Awesome. And then I just walked right out. I'm like, I gotta go.
We have to end this interview because there are other guests, and... I'm falling in love. I need you to pick a number between... Dude, you could totally do porn. I just don't think you're meant to do it.
You know my
porn
idea.
Calling.
I stole it from somebody. It was you introduce eating, but he said he would just like do a girl doggy style and like eat chicken wings. But then I brought up the idea like put one of those checkered tablecloths on her back and have like a plate set up and try to eat like a steak. Or ribs or
hey,
hot dogs.
Ray, that kind of sounds Michelle Gondry-esque. See, good. I have a fucking awesome life right now. All right, I need you to pick a number between 104 and 190.
126.
Good answer. Why 126?
26 is my lucky number.
It's been taken. You get 123. If you became extremely frustrated and unhappy with your spouse, would you be more likely to leave or have an affair? How bad would things have to get before you would consider such an action?
Thank you. Good night.
Patrick can be found at
deepdisheats.com or actually have a food truck coming out. Gluttonforce5.com is the website.
Wait, did you say you had a food truck?
Yeah.
What's gonna be on it?
My slogan is gonna be the drunk food for the sober man. That's our motto. I'm gonna do it with another competitive eater.
If you keep this up and you never move to Chicago, you will never sleep alone, never pay for a meal, and never be sober unless you want to again. Like okay. You could be mayor in 4 years if you like just sweet. Keep this shit up.
All right, well, I'm gonna try. Thank you, sir.
Well, I think everyone's in love. Patrick Bertoletti, everybody.
Bridgeport Coffee Company was named the number one coffee house in Chicago by Time Out magazine, probably because their terrific artisanal roasts are complemented so well by their down-to-earth attitude. Try it yourself at 31st and Morgan in Bridgeport, or at fine retailers like Whole Foods or Jeans in Lincoln Square, or check out BridgeportCoffeeCompany.com.
This next man has run the Chicago Marathon. He is a comic. He is a podcaster. He's a very funny man. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Colin Bullock, everybody. Colin!
Thank you, Brandon. Keep it going for Brandon, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you guys. The other day, I was walking down the street wearing a lot of flannel, as you do. Car pulls up next to me. Guy sticks his head out, and he says, "Hey, buddy, 1993 called. They want their style back." And I said, "Really? Warn them about 9/11! Discussing fashion is not the best use of a time-traveling phone!
So I watch a lot of Discovery Channel in the middle of the night because I'm about a week away from killing myself. And the other day I was watching, and the announcer said, "Coming up next, was Hitler on meth?" And I think for the first time ever, I thought, guys, let's just lay off Hitler. Hasn't Hitler been through enough? I mean, who do they think they're going to, you know, whose opinion are they going to change? Like, if you hate Hitler, the fact that he did meth isn't going to make you hate him more. And if you like Hitler, you probably also like meth. That Venn diagram is just a circle. Thank you. It's been a weird week for me, guys. I got to be honest. Me and my girlfriend moved in together this week, guys. Okay. There you go. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Oh, that's a terrible idea," or "That's going to end horribly," or "You don't have a girlfriend." But personally, I am super excited. Because since me and my girlfriend moved in together, that means it could potentially be only a matter of months before I get a new girlfriend. Feeling good. Hoping Asian this time. Fingers crossed. I was watching TV with my girlfriend the other day. Victoria's Secret commercial comes on. She turns to me, she says, "Colin, do you find those girls attractive?" And I said, no. My boner's left over from the Golden Girls rerun. Don't worry about it. She didn't buy that for one goddamn second. She says, Colin! Colin, I know you think those girls are hot! They've got all the parts you like and all the places you like them! Are you gonna leave me for a girl like that? And I said, don't be ridiculous. A girl like that would never fuck me! She's gorgeous, and I look like what would happen if Harry Potter and a drunken Sasquatch had a baby. Only less cuddly. No one's buying my plush doll, ladies and gentlemen. No one's buying my plush doll. Which I do sell out of my car. I do love my girlfriend, but we get in fights. For example, she's always riding my ass, trying to get me to better myself. You know what I'm saying? Every goddamn day, it's like, Colin, you should drink less, and Colin, you should jog more, and Colin, you shouldn't enter so many pie-eating contests, and Colin, you shouldn't throw your own pie-eating contest, and Colin, if you're going to throw your own pie-eating contest, you should at least invite other people, or Colin, don't just sit on the couch eating pie all day and call it a contest, or Colin, if you're going to sit on the couch eating pie all day, at least eat a whole pie and not just pumpkin pie filling out of the can, or Colin, if you're going to eat pumpkin pie filling out of the can, at least use a spoon and not just your hand. Or Colin, if you're going to use your hand, at least wash your hand. Or Colin, if you're just going to sit on the couch shoveling pumpkin pie filling into your mouth, staring to nothingness while Radiohead's Karma Police plays on in the soup in the background, wear some pants. Please, Colin, I run a home daycare. Please. I do make terrible food decisions. Had Chinese food for dinner today. Yum, 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 yum. Tell you my favorite part of getting Chinese takeout? Seeing how many fortune cookies they put in the bag. Because that tells you how many people they thought were eating the meal. You know? It's like, look, the Chinese restaurant thinks I'm five people. They think I'm a family. Okay. Okay. I have a story I want to tell you guys, and then I'm going to hand it back over to your capable host. I did go to college, not to brag. Thank you. While I was there, I studied creative writing, which in terms of usefulness, ranks somewhere between pool management and dropping out to huff glue. But my favorite part of going to college was the crazy street people that lived in the college town. And I think every college town has their version of these people, these delightful characters, okay? There was one guy whose name was Boom, who you could always find at different parties and stuff like that, wearing white T-shirts, which he would scrawl quotes on attributed to some random person. But they were always really wrong, but kind of right. A quote would say something like, hey, fuck y'all and y'all discriminatory practices. Martin Luther King. Like, I don't think Reverend King ever said that, but I don't think he would disagree with it either. So, same page. And one time I was at a bar, and Boom was there, and he offered the best comeback line I've ever heard in my life, okay? So, Boom, who was a skinny, coked-out African-American gentleman, which I don't say to be racist. You need to know it to understand what he says next. He was sitting at the bar chatting up a fat, fat white woman. And I do mention that to be racist. So, he was sitting there chatting her up, and he just playing slick moves, put a little hair behind her ear, goes, baby, tonight, we're going to go home, and we're going to play road. She says, what's road? He says, road is when I lay you down, and I blacktop the shit out of you, girl. It's like, boom, if I ever get married, you're writing my vows. Tell you that, buddy. But then a guy comes up from behind him and taps on the shoulder and is like, why you fucking with my girl? That's my girl! Getting up in Boom's face, pointing a finger at him, and Boom looks right back at this guy, dead in the eyes, and I will never forget this, stares him right down and says, if you don't back off, I'm gonna come on my boot and kick fuck you pregnant. Like, Boom, you did not study biology. But you were clearly captain of the debate team. So good on you. Hey, thanks. You guys have been great.
Colin Bullock, everybody. Sit down, buddy. That was good.
Thanks, Brandon.
You've gotten a lot better since I've last seen you.
When did you last see me?
Like a year. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a big... I'm at that three-year mark in stand-up, but you know anything about stand-up, it's like such a year of progress, you know?
I think you're doing quite well.
Thanks.
I don't want to poke holes in any of your premises, so I don't feel like I should ask you any real questions. You host a podcast.
I do.
It's called?
Awkward Moments with Colin A. Bullock.
If you're a fan of probably WTF, that's the... Yeah. You would like the show.
What's WTF? I've never heard of
really?
It.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
You locked the gates.
I've stolen the premise of WTF.
You mean the idea of talking?
Yeah, I think Mark Maron invented talking and being a neurotic Jew. He invented both of those things. So,
are you
I've
a neurotic
stolen.
Jew?
I'm a neurotic...
You're not Jewish, right?
No, I'm Irish Catholic.
Oh, good.
But you know, the other day...
Not in this city, okay? Not on this talk show. That's for the East Coast shows.
Brandon,
let's keep it clean in
I
Chicago.
I work the door to make sure there's no Jews that get into your show, Brandon.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, I've always had an affinity with the Jewish culture. Just the other day, for Easter, I had bagels and lox for the first time ever, and I was like... Why did we ever try to genocide these people? They're amazing. They've got such... Oh, my God, I love the Jews.
28 was really the first time you had bagels and lox?
I know. Everyone makes that face, but I had had the individual components. I had had bagels and I had smoked salmon before. But it was the first time anyone ever told me to, like, put them together. And it's like the moment you discover jerking off where you're like, how did I live without this?
Are you really... You're not really with a woman, are you?
What's that?
You're not really with a girl, are you? No, seriously, like.
Yeah, I really am.
Seriously? Because I've been to your apartment, like.
I don't live with her. Oh no, do I live with a woman? No, I don't live with a woman.
Oh yeah, she's
I'm
not
dating
no,
a woman.
No one's gonna live there. No one.
Oh my
like,
god, I have two.
You
roommates.
Gotta move, man. Your place is disgusting.
It is fucking, dude. I don't. I do want to move, but the rent is only $283 a month, which is great.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly. It's a shithole. It's in a shitty neighborhood. So I'm over at my girlfriend's house, like over 75% of the time. Over there all the time.
Where does she live?
She lives also in Logan Square.
Yeah, that's like better
Spalding
for you.
Spalding and Altgeld. I mean, I live in Logan Square, too, technically.
No, you don't.
Well, I live in the part that the white people haven't gotten to
That's
yet.
Not Logan Square, then.
That's not Logan Square?
No. That's just called Other.
That's called Other?
Yeah, like, you can't walk from the blue line.
For Brandon, it's where white people live and Other. It's just... On his map, there's just a picture of a sea monster, and it says, there be dragons.
We're going to end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex. You're not going to top it. That was fucking good.
Thanks, man.
Good punch. And I could attack back, but I choose not to. Good set, man. I'm really happy.
I'm really happy that I did well, too, Brandon.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. That's a nice suit.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic right now.
No, that's a really nice suit.
Thanks.
I'm being sincere.
I got it when I was a big fan of Doctor Who.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how you mark time when you were a big fan of Doctor Who?
Yeah, I was like, what suit would Tennant wear? Oh, with navy blue with pinstripes.
Okay, so you're a Tennant Doctor Who fan.
Oh, yeah.
Poser.
Poser? What are you talking about?
That's a new Who, right?
Yeah, he was number 10.
Number 10?
You don't count the old Doctors. That's too many. You can't
keep
track.
You know what's a true story? This is kind of cute. When I was a kid, my dad would watch Doctor Who like late at night, and I was like literally 3 years old. And he would pass out, and the next morning he would ask me what happened, and I would describe it, and he'd go, you're just making shit up. Then later he'd watch it and be like, that's actually what happened. He thought a three-year-old was making it up.
Positive reinforcement.
I know.
Please pick a number between 104 and 190.
190.
Excellent. We have that one. It's really long. Mm. If your partner went out of town to a friend's wedding, and after a wild reception, ended up having sex with an old flame... Would you want to be told? Assume that the two of them had a great time, but plan no further contact, and that no one else was aware of what happened. How do you think such an admission would affect your relationship? If the situation were reversed, would you say anything to your partner? And go.
Okay, let's start with the last one. I would definitely say something to my partner. I would be one of those, like, guilt-ridden guys who just, like, starts crying probably while coming. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm sorry, I fucked up my life.
And they're like, I'm a prostitute. So I would definitely say something to her. That's a troubling question. Would you like to know or would you not? Because I have a feeling that, like, I guess I would like to not ever know because then you, but, like, it's because we're presupposing this universe where I know that I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Which no, we're not. Thing. No, no, we're
no,
not.
I mean, I'm saying right now I don't. So I would say that I would prefer to not know, just to be honest, if they're planning never to make contact again.
Exactly.
And so, like, if you just got drunk and they fucked one time, mm-hmm. I would prefer not to know, because what good comes from me knowing? We can't reverse it. I just feel bad.
Here's the thing. I think there's a lot of caveats in this, and I'm glad that you're actually taking this seriously. Number one, is she pregnant?
Well, if she's pregnant and it's a black kid, I hope never to know, because I believe I'm black.
Good.
And I don't want anyone burst that bubble.
Number two, what if it's an STD?
What if she gets an STD?
Yeah. Would you want to know, or would you assume that...
I mean, which one? Because it could cure some of my STDs.
There you go. That's good.
Cancel each other out.
Number three, mm-hmm. Does she remember the encounter?
That's a good question.
Because if she doesn't, then I definitely don't want to know.
Well, I mean, if she doesn't...
But if she was like, I came for the first time because of penetration, like, I definitely don't want to know, and
oh,
I'm going to
terrible.
Leave.
Oh, that would be terrible. Yeah, I mean, that's... Okay, here's what I would say. If the dude has a bigger dick than me, then I don't want to know.
Well, come on.
So I mean,
he's got a bigger dick
speaking,
than you.
He
yeah,
probably
he's got a bigger
does.
Dick. You're a stand-up. He
I
has
am
got a bigger
Irish.
Dick than you.
So, yes, if he has... Yeah, goddamn, man, that's tough. I would say, yeah, I mean, if she had, like, great sex and really enjoyed it, I don't want to know. If it was super shitty and it makes me feel better about myself... Because all relationships to me are through a prism of me. I'm very narcissistic.
No, that makes sense. You're a stand-up comic, once
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
I think this is actually fascinating, and this is actually the kind of stuff you could hear on your podcast.
Absolutely.
It's called Awkward Moments with Colin A. Bullock.
Awkward Moments with Colin A. Bullock. Check out www.awkwardmoments.
Don't include that. Why do guests include
check
www?
Check out HTTP equals sign /
awkwardmomentspod.com. Awkwardmomentspod.com. Colin will be here at the end of the month recording it live.
Yeah, April 30th, Monday. I'm going to be right back here doing a live version
gonna
of the show. They're going to
lock the gates,
and I'm just going to air. I'm going to stand on stage like Aphex Twin and just press WTF on my laptop.
That's not a bad idea. To
yeah,
open
I like that.
That.
I like
just
that.
Keep every time you press a button, you layer another WTF. Oh, fuck. I think we just wrote your first
like
act.
Like a weird like Aphex Twin Reggie Watts combo or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's the first act.
Yeah, that was so fucking hipster. All of you guys should be applauding.
If it actually is hipster, they don't applaud.
I know, you're right.
We did a
everyone
show.
Just goes, you fucking hipster.
No, Merle and I will do shows, and I'll do shows in New York, and I was like, Merle, you don't understand these crowds. Like, they're the worst. She's like, they're fine, whatever. And we opened the show with like, hey, everybody, free cloak and blowjobs. Like, zero reaction. Like, it doesn't matter. So, anyways, that was a stupid thing, and I'm going to cut out of the podcast. Colin has been a great guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Colin.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. I'm going to need you to...
Hey, everybody. Thanks for downloading the show. I appreciate it. This is the part where I tell you to support our sponsors. One of our sponsors for this four nights of shows at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois, is Half Acre Brewery. Yes, I finally am living my dream. I'm giving away beer. Beer that I like. Beer that I like drinking. Beer that I like sharing with others at you, me, them, everybody. Half Acre, if you're not from Chicago or you don't know about good beer... is very good beer. They have a brewery. It's almost in the Lincoln Square neighborhood. It's 3900 Lincoln. It's super easy to get to. They have brewery tours. You can go there and get growlers. You can get Gossamer. You can get Daisy Cutter. They give us this new beer I've never even heard of. It's called Over Ale. I've heard of Over Ale, but they're Over Ale. I had it for the first time this week. It's my new favorite Half Acre. It's got these cool owls on there. I love this beer. I love this brewery. I am so thrilled. I am elated to say that Half Acre is an official sponsor of You, Me, Them, Everybody. Go check them out online. There's a link to their brewery / beer, whatever. That doesn't really help. Just buy them. They're good. It's in cans. It's good. It's the best, all right? You know, that Dos Equis guy, that's weird. Instead, they sponsor shows like me. That's cool. Yeah, they could have done this with a sports team or a sports team. They could have done this with anybody. They chose us, and that makes me very, very happy. So I should come up with a tagline or something. I don't have one. Here's all I'm saying. Drink the beer. It's good. It's the kind of beer where you could bring it to, like, the in-laws, and they're like, ooh, someone's fancy. And it's the kind of beer you could drink during the baseball game, and you're not feeling all shitty, and it's old style. And there's nothing wrong with old style. Just drink the Half Acre, okay? It's good beer. Drink the beer. It's delightful. And ladies like the beer. I don't even know if that's true. Every woman I know that likes this beer, they're cool. But I only hang out with cool ladies because, I mean, I drink Half Acre beer. That's an awful tagline. It's halfacrebeer.com. Thanks to Half Acre. Now back to the show.
Hello, everybody. It's Brandon Weatherby once again, not in the Hungry Brain. This is being recorded the day it's coming out on April 17th. There were some recording difficulties with the rest of the show. Rather than exclude O Theodora and Tiger Cry, we are going to put some stuff in there that they've recorded and salvage what's left. They both performed really, really well. It's just that the audio didn't work out, and I'm sorry about that to both of them. So here's O Theodora with Coach Bing Crosby.
Absolutely the worst out of basketball I have ever seen. Look, I know that you kids are teenagers, but if you think you're in this 2-on-2 co-ed basketball tournament, what's the point of even showing up? Show me some heart out there, people. Okay, your coach is going to be here any minute.
Theodora, they were fantastic at the Hungry Brain. Go see them around town. The link to their Facebook page is in this show description. Finally, we have Tiger Cry. Tiger Cry played an excellent set, and we use whenever we record a show, we have two separate mics going on. We have the board, we have the soundboard mixes, what you hear like 95% of the time, and then we have an audio recorder placed around the room, essentially a room mix, and that's only if something horrible happens, like The computer crashed during the middle of Tiger Christ's first song. Hence, something horrible happened. We did get the first song. We got the entire set on tape, but only the first song sounds listenable. I really enjoy it, and I want to show you that they are a good live act. So that's why I'm including this song and then a bunch of the songs that they played, the studio versions of those songs. So once again, sorry to O Theodora and Tiger Cry. They are both fantastic. Thanks to our guests, Ray Pride, Patrick Bertoletti, and Colin Bullock. Colin Bullock will be back at the Hungry Brain at the end of April. We will be back at the Hungry Brain at the end of May. So without further ado, here's Tiger Cry. First song from the Hungry Brain, the next few songs from their records. Go check them out online. Once again, information about Tiger Cry can be found in our show description. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tiger Cry.
Come on down to the water, it's fine to keep on all your clothes. Come on down to the bow and I will ease of your hip and lows. Won't you stay a little longer with me?
My heart, she lives in a rally. My master. 7 long years around. Well, then I married my master, and the neighbor saw me, gave of me. But when my 7 long years around, well, then I married. When Christmas comes about again, well, then I serve. It up and box and all, I give it to my honey. I would it worth 10,000 pounds. I give it all to Sally. She is the darling of my heart. She lives in a rally.
My master and the neighbors saw me, gave of me. But when my 7 long years arrived, I married my master and the neighbor saw me, gave me. When my 7 long years arrived, well then I
Thank you.